with me. First place, I want you to just take and hold your, and hold the 2 Chronicles chapter number 9. 2 Chronicles chapter number 9. 2 Chronicles chapter number 9. If you'll just take and hold that place in your Bible, put something in there, mark it, whatever be the case, but hold that place if you would. Find that as quickly as you can. Then turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm so glad this morning my God is real. I'm glad that my God is not some statue somewhere or some stump, but I'm glad he's a real God that speaks to my heart and communicates to me. Amen?
Amen.
And I hope that for your sake, I hope you know what it's like to have God speak to your heart, communicate with you, talk to you. But Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 15, the Bible says, Hebrews 13, 15. If you'll find that, and then I'll let you turn with me to the book of Psalms. But if you'll find Hebrews 13, verse number 15, and we'll read that one together. Hebrews 13, 15. The Bible says there, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. For those of you, and I, of course in some congregations it may not be so, but just about everyone here is able to verbalize their words. Downstairs it may not be the case. Up here, every adult here this morning is able to verbalize their words. God said that praise is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. It's not just something we feel in our heart. It's something that is comes forth from our lips. If it doesn't come forth from our lips, then it is not praise. How many of you ever eaten homemade ice cream before? We're not going to eat any right now, but if you want to go outside afterward, if you go out there and you feel kind of hot, you want to make some, just stay around. We'll go out there, but we've got to make it outdoors, all right? So I doubt if many of you will stay around, but there are ingredients for homemade ice cream. I remember the first time I ever had any, and it's been a long time since I had, but I remember a fellow way back when, somewhere or another, along the way, made some homemade ice cream, and I remember how good that tasted. But there's ingredients for it. And until all that goes in that little kettle and comes out that spout, it's not ice cream. And that's the way it is with praise. Until it comes out, it's not praise. And if it has to be something that someone tells you when to do it, you know, if it's in the script and there's a certain time, that's not praise either. That's choreographed showmanship. I'm talking about the fruit of our lips, giving thanks his name. That's praise, what the Bible talks about. Now another place in your Bible is in the book of Psalms. Turn to the book of Psalms. I want you to see this morning the book of Psalms, verse chapter number 22. Psalms 22. Psalm 22, verse 21, the Bible says, "Save me. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns." Let me say this just for a moment. King David was a man after God's own heart. David was a praising man.
Amen.
David got in trouble with one of his wives, and that was part of his problem. He had too many of them, but one of his wives, Michael, he got in trouble with her because he was leaping and praising God. She said, "You made a fool out of yourself today." And I'm not sure exactly in all that story. There are different, no doubt, in every relationship, there are things that David could have done better, and no doubt there are things that his wife could have done better, and that's the case as it always is. But he was known as a man. He said, I'll yet praise him more and more. He said, "If what bothers you about me is my praising God, then just get used to it, because I'm going to praise him more and more." And later on, David is just known as a man that praised God. And he did a lot of things he shouldn't have done. Amen. But God helped David understand his mercy and his grace. And David was a praising man. And he said here that thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Anything that make noise, David thought it was a good instrument to praise God with. Amen. I believe a lot of the instruments that we have, David invented. He said he made over 10 different instruments to praise God with. I mean, David continually went about trying to figure out a way to make something make noise. I mean, David could have heard a rock throw and said, boy, that sounds like it's praising God. I mean, David lived, ate, slept, breathed this thing of praising God. He wanted people to know his God was the only God. Let me just say this morning. I understand this is important to know this. Some of us have been raised up, brought up, and we believe that there's only one God. But not everybody in this world believes that there's only one God. There are folks, look, they worship rocks and cars and houses, and they worship false gods and all kinds of other things. But this morning, there's only one God. And he's the triune God, the mighty God. Amen. And he's a great God. And we ought to praise him for his goodness. Amen. It's amazing the things that God does. And God is a great and a wonderful God. Now here, David, verse 22 says, I will declare thy name unto my brother. The reason why most of us never praise God or never say anything about him is because we don't will to. Amen.
Right.
He said, I will. The reason, the way you sing songs when it's singing time is you open the song book up and say, I will sing. Amen. I will say amen. I will praise God. I will tell people about him. I will say God has been good to me. Amen. Listen, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. David was saying, look, if I'm walking along and there's a big crowd of people there, you better watch out. Because if I start thinking about the goodness of God, he was like that old preacher, that old deacon down south, and that dear colored brother, man, he loved God, and he believed that God had been good to him. And when he went to the house of God, he couldn't help it. He'd sit over there in the pew, and then he would say, amen, hallelujah, praise God, glory to God. When he'd get excited, and every once in a while, he'd just got all over him. He'd get up and walk the pews and walk around, and man, he looked like his pants were on fire. And he couldn't stand it. And listen, the old preacher died, and some of the old folks in the church died, and things changed little by little, and this new educated, arrogant type of preacher come in, and he would still preach the truths and the doctrines, but he didn't believe any kind of emotion when he preached or from the people. And it bothered him. That old fella would praise God like that. And he said to the deacons, he said, I'd like for you fellas to go down there and see old Brother Brown there and talk to him and calm him down a little bit. We want him to come, and we appreciate him, and we're glad for his spirit and everything, but he's got to control himself in the services. They went down and saw the old fella, and he's out there in the field plowing with his old mules and plowing away and getting ready for the spring plant time. And they went down and said, Brother Brown, can we speak to you for a minute? He said, yes, sir, brother. He said, hallelujah. He said, I'll be right over there and talk to you. And instead, they went to him, and there he stood and with his plow here and his mules there, and they're talking to him. And he said, look, Brother Brown, we love you, and the preacher loves you, and you're as much as part of that church over there as anybody. But you know, the new preacher, he's a little bit worried and bothered by your amen and your shouting and your praising God. It bothers him a little bit. Now, we want you to keep on coming. We just want you to tone it down a little bit. And he said, boys, he said, I'll try. He said, but when I get to thinking about how good God's been to me, and he said, I get to thinking about that little house up there, how God gave me that roof there, and kept my family dry, and them 10 children my dear wife gave me, and how God's always fed us, and I get to think about them black-eyed peas, and them beans, and them taters, and how God's taking care of us. He said, fellas, he said, hold my mule. He said, I think I got to shout it out right now. Amen. Listen, he believed, and he wasn't ashamed to praise God. Amen. Thank God, God. And David said, listen, he said, you just might as well get used to it. If I'm out there, he said, don't matter if the king or the queen or whoever else is there or a multitude, he said, I need man was there in the storefront building, and dear old sister Lois Dunlap was sitting over here, and man, Lois and Raymond didn't get saved, but neither of them today is in their 70s, got saved. And I went to see Lois one time, and I said, Lois, would you come to church? And Raymond, and she said, well, I don't dress this way. And I said, man, I didn't come up here to ask you how you dress. I said, I want you to come to church. And I preached a funeral for them, and they'd give us $100, and I always heard you're not supposed to refuse anything, so I went to Lowe's and got them a $100 gift card from Lowe's. So here, I got something for you. And I just turned it and I said, I want you to come to church. That's all I want out of you. And when Raymond and Lois come, and we knew Raymond wasn't saved, and he told us about it, and Lois said she'd been saved, and one day she called me up, and she said, man, she said, Brother Travis, she said, I got to talk to you. I said, what about, Lois? And Sister Lois, and she said, well, she said, I just don't know if I'm saved or not. And she said, I want to talk to you sometime. I said, right now is the time for that kind of talk. I said, sometime's not a good time. Let's talk right now. And I was in the Kmart up there in Cross City. I said, look, if you don't know for sure you're saved on the way to heaven, Lois, you just need to tell the Lord about it and ask Him to save you. That'll settle it all. And she said, I'll do that. And she said, later on, though, she was at her computer desk, and she had a little track there. She said, how to know 100% for sure you're going to heaven when you die. And she had that track laying there, and the Lord said, Lois, you need to pray right now. And she said, I'll do it in a minute. He said, no, you need to pray right now and get saved. Yeah. And she said, she slipped over and got on her knees and asked Jesus Christ to save her.
Hey!
We've been waiting for Raymond to get saved. We didn't know that she'd never really been saved. She'd never heard the gospel preached to her. She'd gone to the denominational church, Methodist church, and they put her in school to baptize her and stuff. They put her through school, but they never told her how to be saved. She quit going because she had to go to school to be a member there. She thought that was kind of odd. Thank God she quit going. Amen. You got to go to school to come here. You got to know how to sing a song. Here's a song you got to be able to sing to be a member here. Jesus loves me, this I know. Amen. You got to be able to sing that song. That's pretty much covered. All right. You know, it's been good. I just got heard it once in your life. But listen, and be saved. But listen, hey, Lois, man, she got saved. But a few more before that, Raymond got saved. Both of them got baptized. Both of them got saved and baptized in Providence Baptist Church. I was preaching one Thursday night, and Sister Lois, man, how does it still bother me one iota? She got excited, and she said, well, glory! That was it. She woke up that morning in glory. I mean, she woke up that next morning. She went home, she took some gospel tracts and was stamping the church, Providence Baptist Church, on Providence Baptist Church, and Raymond said, I'm going to go on to bed. She said, okay. Providence Baptist Church, stamping on that little Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled track. She laid down that night, went to sleep, and woke up in heaven. I'll never forget her over there saying, well, glory! Hey, listen, it wasn't in the script. I didn't tell her. Lois, at 8:45 tonight, I would like for you to read what's on this card, okay? Oh, it's almost 8:44. Well, glory! See, probably, it wasn't in the script or a piece of paper. It was in her heart. And God got a hold of her. That's what happened. That's what we need. Listen, and David was saying that. I got to get back to this, man. We'll never get there. But for thou hast heard me. He said, I will declare thy name unto my brother. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised, nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee. In the great congregation, I will pay my vows before them that fear him. Look, verse 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord and seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Verse 27. All the end of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Amen. And you thought y'all had a vote in this thing. Yeah, you got no vote in it. God's in charge.
Right, yeah.
He's the governor among the nations.
That's right.
Thank God, amen. He's just letting the rest of these guys play around for a little while and feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
Now, tonight, this morning, whatever, it'll be night and we're done. Now, turn over to Psalm 34 with me, please. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. While you're turning there, Brother Daniel, can I make that announcement?
You come here.
Brother Daniel and Missy Lovejoy are expecting their first child. Amen. That's what expecting means. We live in a liberal day. I say expecting, and they say what? New dog? while we're at it, Travis and Jessica Bradley are expecting also.
Amen.
Psalm 34, verse number 1. Independent contract. Psalm 34, 1. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord when I feel like it. Is that in your Bibles? I will bless the Lord at all times. That means you're going to be an uncle. That's your factor scratching your head. Listen, I will bless the Lord at all times. Tell a preacher, what if the stock market crashed tomorrow? I will bless the Lord at all times. Amen. What if I get a bad report from the doctor? I will bless the Lord at all times. Amen. Listen, what if something bad happens? I will bless the Lord at all times. Say, does that mean you're going to like it? No, I don't like it. But I'll bless Him anyway, because He's God and He's good. And He's good. This life is so short that I'm not going to fret too much about the little bumps that come along the way. Listen, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall occasionally be in my mouth. Is that in your Bible or is it not? No. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. In Social Security, welfare benefits, job security, 401k, or in the Lord. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. In good doctors, in good medical insurance, in good life insurance. No, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. You say, preacher, are you against all those? Yeah, I'm against them all. I think you ought to never go to the doctor again. No, that's not true. Amen. That's not what I said. I said, you ought to make your boast in the Lord.
Right. Amen.
Hey, brother, listen, if He doesn't take care of you, none of that stuff don't matter.
Right.
So, man, my money is safe and secure. It's backed up by the U.S. government. May I tell you how many trillions of dollars in debt the U.S. government is? And, but my God, old Jeffrey Pan, he's never been in debt. Amen. Hills and cattle, a thousand hills, and the hills beneath the cattle. He owned this continent before we ever got here, and He'll own it when we're all gone, amen.
Right, right.
He owns everything.
Amen.
Man, He's in charge. What are we to fret about a few little pennies here and there? Did I beautifully die?
Amen.
I told you, I'm not preaching something I wrote down here a little while ago to preach. I'm just telling you what God put in my heart, and it's what I believe. I wouldn't say it. Have you ever been tested? How do you know? How do you know? I think you've been tested. I just don't think you whine about it. Man, I listen, there's been times God's proved every one of you. So, enough of young people right here. Here's a young man right here, and God's tested him, and he's still here praising God. I heard him many go yelling.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd let him out yell me if I've been around longer than him. You got more to praise God about than that rascal right there does. Amen. Amen. But you go ahead and do it anyway.
Yeah.
Listen, praise Him.
Amen.
I like that. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. God is good to us. Man, listen. He said, oh, magnify. He said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
Amen.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
Yeah.
And let us exalt His name together. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you make God any bigger than He already is? I mean, He's God. Follow me. Don't lose me here just because I ain't yelling enough. Listen. He's God. The Bible says His right hand spans the universe in Isaiah 48. That means from the tip of His thumb, this little finger over here, His hand is bigger than the entire universe.
Right.
Man, listen. He's a whole lot bigger than what Oral Roberts thought He was. He's 10 billion times bigger. And whatever He's got, He's so big, He can take care of all of our problems. He's big God.
Right.
David said this. He said, let's exalt Him. How are you making Him bigger than He already is? I know this. A lot of people make Him little.
Yeah.
By their words, it seems like they're saying, I've got a very small God. Honestly, you say it's worrying sin. I don't know that worrying is sin. I don't know worrying is a sin, but a whole lot of worrying by God's people causes people to wonder if they even have a God or not. I'm not saying that what fear and fretting won't ever pass through your heart, won't ever pass through your mind, but can I tell you one thing? Can I tell you something? Listen, it ought to be resolved in a matter of thoughts. As we look at what problems come our way, and we begin to look at God and how great He is and how He can take care of it. There's never been one yet that God couldn't handle.
That's right.
There's never been a sinner God couldn't save. Amen. Amen. Thank God for Calvary. Hey, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. And thank God this morning that He's able to save them to the uttermost. Where sin is about, grace is much more about. Thank God this morning that God is able to save old sinners. He's able to lift up the sick. And He's able, friends, to take you and I from this old sin-cursed world and give us a brand new body, into His glorious body, and let us rule and reign with Him in His kingdom, where He shall wax and reign the Lord. He'll forever sit in the throne in glory someday.
Amen.
So we get to be a part of
it.
Amen. The man of Christ will come, and He's going to set Himself up to be king, and all the false religions will come along, and they'll say, away with the Christians, away with the God, the false God that them Christians talked about. And brother, listen, what they won't know is that from glory, there'll be a rider on a white horse with a two-edged sword and a whole bunch of followers behind. He said, what will we be doing? We'll be cheering Him on. That's what we'll be doing.
Amen.
He'll have that sharp two-edged sword, and He'll kill and slay, and He'll put down the Antichrist and all of His followers, and He'll sit and He'll stand there in Zion and Jerusalem and that mountain, and He'll be King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen.
But this morning, I want to show you something. Take your Bible, turn to the Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. You need to understand some things. Now listen, turn your listen on, button on. Keep yourself awake for a minute. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, it was God's plan for them to be godly people, and they were for a little while, but the first murder took place from their family.
Yep.
One of their sons killed the other son. It didn't take long before man deteriorated into a very bad specimen. Throughout all the ages, throughout all the Bible, God wrote, raised up men. He raised up Noah. He said, Noah built an ark, and Noah built an ark. And then after the ark, there were eight people on the face of this earth that were righteous people. But from those eight people has come all the corruption that we have now.
Yeah.
From the two people that God originally put in the Garden of Eden has come all the corruption that was then.
Yeah, right.
You understand? Listen, and from those people, they came from the mind of God. So the heart of man is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? But God has raised up people. The time after the flood, He raised up a man named Abraham. And He said, Abraham, He said, your daddy worships false gods and he doesn't believe in me. He said, Abraham, do you believe in me? Abraham said, I sure do, God. I believe you're the only God. And he said, do you really, Abraham? How old are you? Well, I'm about 60, 70, 80 years old, Abraham. I want you to leave. Get out.
Yeah.
Here we go, God. Don't matter. Just go. You believe in me, don't you, Abraham?
Yeah.
You believe in me? You don't believe in them false gods that your daddy Terah worships, do you? No, God. Well, then I want you to get out. Go. Where am I going to go, God? What am I going to take? Take your wife. That's who you're going to take and get out.
Right.
And Abraham waited around a while. Because it's a whole lot easier to say, I believe God, than to act on what God says when you say you believe Him.
Yeah.
But Abraham went out. And from him came a people, the Hebrew people.
Uh-huh.
Abraham wasn't perfect. Moses wasn't perfect. He never has been a perfect one except Jesus Christ.
Right.
Abraham went out and he failed. He did some things. And then the nation of Israel went into captivity. God raised up a man named Moses. They go get him, Moses. And Moses was a good right man. He was the friend of God. And Moses obeyed God and went out. Moses weren't perfect either. Then Joshua. And then the judges. And then came a man named David. A man after God's own heart.
Right.
And he was one of God's rulers. He was one of God's men. But David sinned also, messed up. Made a mess of things. Then came a son from David. Now follow this. His son's name is Solomon. Never history has there ever been a man that had the power that Solomon had. Never. Why did this man never live? You say, well, why did he have so many wives? That's where all of his wisdom, apart from what God gave him, the rest of it come from all those wives. Obviously, I know that. Dumb question. One preacher said he had 700 wives and 300 combines, or concubines. But Solomon, the reason why he had all those wives, that's how many kings had made peace treaties with him by giving him their daughters. Most all of those wives came as a result of peace treaties. They were saying, Solomon, you could wipe us out if you wanted to. You're wiser than we are. You're more powerful than we are. We want to make peace with you. Solomon's wise, powerful man. Yes. What was David's desire? Someone tell me. It was to glorify God. David's desire was to build a temple, a house for the Lord, but God wouldn't allow him to do it. So he said, I'm going to raise up your son. He'll do it.
Yep.
Now follow me. He did do it. Watch this. He did do it. He did build that temple. God did give him wisdom. This morning, I want to show you the opportunity that Solomon had. I want to show you the... You've never seen this before. You never thought about this. I want to show you the opportunity that Solomon had. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Chronicles chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Read verse number 1. I'll read it out loud. You read along. 2 Chronicles 9, 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great company and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers also and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not their words until I came. And mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me. For thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on his throne to be king for the Lord thy God. Because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever, therefore made he thee king over them to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, great abundance, and precious stones. Neither was there any such spice as the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. And the servants also of Urim and the servants of Solomon, which brought gold from Ophir, brought algum trees and precious stones. And the king made of the algum trees terraces unto the house of the Lord and to the king's palace, and harps and psalteries and for singers. And there were none such seen before in the land of Judah. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire. Whatsoever she asked, beside that which she had brought unto the king, so she turned and went her way to her own land, she and her servants. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold, beside that which chapmen and merchants brought, and all the kings of Arabia and governors of the country. Can you see that? King Solomon, the son of David, the same David that praised God, the same David that went about and glorified God. The same David that sat out there in the pasture field with those sheep and the sheepfold, that same David hears his son, and his son has the opportunity before him. The Queen of Sheba has come. She's heard of Solomon, and she's heard how God has blessed Solomon. She's heard about his wisdom and his ability and his this incredible stature. She's heard all these things. She said, I've got to go see him. And she proves him with hard questions. And every question that she has, Solomon has the answer for her. And she watches and she sees how Solomon, how everything is laid out and how beautiful it is. She's amazed by the blessing of Solomon, how God has blessed Solomon. She can't believe it. And she, the unfortunate thing is, as she's watching the cupbearers, and she's amazed by them, she sees the clothes that they wear, and they dress the right way. They have order. They know how to dress. They know how to behave. They know how to speak. They know how to stand up. They know when to sit down. They've got all the orderly things down. The unfortunate thing is, they fail to impress upon the Queen of Sheba. She leaves and goes back to her land, and there's no mention. She knows that they serve the true God, but there's no mention that the Queen of Sheba sees from this conversation. She's not converted, nor convinced or persuaded to trust the Almighty God. The Bible goes on to say, in verse number 21, the Bible says, for the king's ships went to Tarshish with the servants of Urim. Every 3 years, once came the ships of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. And King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon. All the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold and raiment and harnesses and spices, horses and mules, a rate year by year. And Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed to the chariot cities with the king of Israel of Jerusalem. And he reigned over all the kings from the river even unto the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. And the king made silver in Jerusalem as stones, and cedar trees made he as the sycamore trees that are in the low plain in abundance. The Bible says in verse 23, all the kings of the earth sought his presence. The Bible says in verse 14, besides that which the chaplains and the merchants entered. Note this, that the merchants were men that traveled. They traveled every nation in that land, every nook and cranny, we might say, every area. Those merchants, they went everywhere, and they went everywhere, and they told about a man named Solomon. They told about how God had blessed his kingdom, and all those things. They went everywhere, they told people. So Solomon had an influence with those men. Then the Bible says this, and all the kings of Arabia, the same Arabia right now, the Middle East, the same nations that are under the lie of Islam, the same nations that are under the lie of the prophet, false prophet Muhammad, who gathered the people together and told them that Allah was God. Thank God this morning. Understand this. Allah is not God. Hey, Allah is dead. He's not getting up. And Muhammad is dead. And he's not getting up. But we serve the true and living God. And Solomon, he knew our God. And he'd been taught by his daddy. And listen, he had the same should have had and been taught about how they did have and communicated with the same God that his daddy sang about, the same God that his daddy prayed, the same God that his daddy worshiped. And no doubt in my mind, Solomon knew God. And he knew about God. And God blessed Solomon. And Solomon was probably, as far as I know, a believer. Most likely, I presume, he's with the Lord now. And we'll see him someday. But Solomon had, without a doubt, he had the greatest opportunity that anyone ever had. Note this, understand this, that in the Old Testament, the people were saved because they heard about God, and they heard of his goodness, and they saw him, and they cast off their false God, and they put their confidence in God. Or we might say they put their faith in God. They put their belief in God. They learned of the true and living God. And I believe the Bible teaches that by that they were saved. We have the story in the Bible about a man named Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, the great mighty king. He had 4 Hebrew children in his kingdom. One of them named Daniel. Daniel was told not to pray in public. And Daniel went ahead and prayed anyway. And they told him not to pray to any other God but Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel didn't know the God Nebuchadnezzar. He prayed like he had always prayed. 3 times a day. for Jerusalem, he would pray to the only true living God. Hey, King Nebuchadnezzar heard about it. He said, you can't do that, Daniel. Daniel went ahead and prayed anyway, and they had Daniel cast in the den of lions. Hey, but God shut the lion's mouth, and God delivered Daniel out of that den of lions. That was the testimony to that king. Then, both Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, the same king, the same kingdom, were cast into the burning fiery furnace. And while they were there, in that burning fiery furnace, the king said, let's go see what happened of them. And he walked in there, and he looked, and he said, oh, I see four men walking, and one of them is likened to the Son of God. Brother, listen, you go back there and read the book of Daniel, and you'll see the influence on that king those four men had. Hey, you go, and you read, and you study about old David, and how the Psalms that he wrote, and how they influenced other kings and other nations. You look at the story about a man named Joseph. Old Joseph was sold into Egyptian captivity. The Bible says that Joseph taught wisdom to the counselors in Egypt, so he used his influence, but none of those men, none of them had the influence that Solomon had. None of them had the platform that he had. None of them had been so richly blessed of God. Hey, Solomon, I believe this morning, Solomon had the opportunity. He could have had the true and living God. He could have had him preached and taught to all the kings of all the world. Thank God for this morning. Listen, thank God for those who did preach and teach God. But Solomon had the greatest opportunity. They all came to his doorstep because of how good God had been to him. And I have to say this morning that God has been good to us. Hey, God's blessed us exceedingly. Hey, God has provided for me, and God has given things for me, and God has given for you. And listen, hey, you can go back to your home in a little while and look around and see all the things that God's given you. And listen, those things are not bad. It's not bad or wrong that God's given us things. Listen, thank God. Hey, thank God for the things that God's given us. Whether you got a radio that your neighbors can hear, your whole neighborhood can hear, or whether you got one you can hardly hear, or whether your TV's hard big enough to see, or whether it takes up the whole wall. What the matter? It doesn't matter. Listen, what matters about those things is that God has given us things, and God has blessed us, and we fail to glorify Him and praise Him for all the things that God has given us. He's given us houses. He's given us hell beyond anything else. Hey, no doubt there are folks in this church who your health was bad and it looked like you weren't going to make it, but God allowed you to get to the doctor somewhere. God, give that doctor wisdom and the know-how and the ability and the teaching. And God used that doctor, and probably God has extended your life for a little while. Hey, God knows all those things. Hey, God, it's God that gives the doctors, and it's God that gives wisdom, and it's God that gives the blessings. Everything we have comes to us because of God. We ought to praise Him. We ought to rejoice in His name. We ought to let others know just how good God has been to us. Listen, hey, and God has provided for me and my family, and I can't begin to tell you how good God's been to me. I can't, listen, in the 4 or 5 or 6 years, whatever it is, 7 years now, hey, God provided me vehicles to drive, and God provided me gas for those vehicles. Hey, gasoline used to be $1.20. Now it's as much as $3.20 a gallon. Hey, but God keeps car on the road. He keeps things going. Eggs are going up. Milk is going up. But God keeps eggs in our houses. God keeps milk in the houses. Hey, God takes care of us. We started, man, my wife and I, there's just 2 of us. Now there's 4 of us. Soon to be 5 of us. And, hey, or whatever, 6 of us. Listen, plus the dog. But God's good to us, and God takes care of us. And you'll never get past the blessings of God and the goodness of God. I say to America, there's no reason for America to complain. There's no reason for America to pout. There's no nation on the face of God's earth who has been more richly blessed than the nation of America, the USA. God has been so good to our country. He's provided for us abundantly. He's given us more, I believe, than any other nation can claim. And thank God for all the goodness of God. Therefore, because of the goodness of God, we have the greatest opportunity. We have the greatest platform to let others know about His goodness. We need to praise Him. We need to let others know that the good that we have, it has not come to us by accident or by chance. It's come to us because there's a God in heaven who has provided for us His goodness. God has blessed America. God has blessed me. God has blessed you. And this morning we need to understand this, that the world, they need not just to see the blessings. They need not just to see the blessings. They need to hear from us and know from our mouths that God Almighty has provided the blessings, and that the same God that has taken care of us will take care of them. Hey, the greatest need that God will take care of. Hey, listen, my biggest need is not a house. My biggest need is not a car. My biggest need is not more food to eat. Listen, all food-wise, all I need is enough to live and breathe and enough to give me energy to get by. I need enough water to drink every once in a while to keep me going. But thank God, we're not for Christ in Calvary. My greatest need was met by Jesus Christ when He washed all my sins away, brother. Listen, and you and I have sitting here this morning, and those here this, listen out across this country, we've heard the gospel preached. We've heard the blessed story. We know that Jesus saved. He's the Savior of the world. He's met our great need and saved our souls. And He's blessed us abundantly. And how desperately we need to praise Him and glorify His name and let others know His goodness. All this morning, I think of a story I've got to tell you. A few weeks back, I was on the telephone. I spoke to my father-in-law. And he told me a story about how that there on the way home in Florida, where he lives there, on the way home from work one evening, he saw a little fruit stand. And he saw the fellow there, I suppose, running the thing. And he said, well, he said, I pull in there and get some fruit to take home with me. And sure enough, he pulled in and there was no one else there. The fellow running the place didn't look altogether that impressive, nor did the place look all that impressive, but he went ahead and went around and saw a fellow, and he asked him a question. He said, how you doing? He said, no sooner he said, how you doing, that fellow said, hallelujah, glory to God, praise God, hallelujah. He said, he stepped back, and he said, he's been saved for a long time, and he knew God had been good, but he didn't know if he should jump in and go with him, or he didn't know what to do. But he just stepped back and he watched the guy, and the guy just kept praising God and glorifying God and went on. And then he settled down there and he bought some fruit from him and he left. And a few weeks later, he was going by there and he noticed the tent had grown a little bit. Where it was from before, now they'd added about 10, 15, 20 feet to the tent. And he stopped going there to get some more fruit. And he made the same mistake the second time that he made the first time. And he said to the fellow, how you doing, buddy? He said, well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Boy, God's good to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said he was dancing around there, moving around like his pants were on fire. Boy, just he kept praising God. He said, I'm sitting there thinking, boy, should I jump in with him? What should I do? He said, went in and bought the fruit, and a few weeks later, a little bit of time, weeks passed, and he went by, and what was once a little tent stand, now it had become a larger tent. I mean, it was growing. And now, after a few weeks, months have passed, he said he went by and he said he noticed across the street on the other side that the fella had purchased, he bought a barn. He owned the barn. He was in the barn now. He moved across the street from the little tent that grew to a bigger tent and then all the way over to the barn. And he said, you know, he said, I thought about the verse where God said he chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Thought this maybe, you know, that's exactly, and I believe it is. That's what God wants. God was saying, look, hey, if you'll praise me and if you'll glorify me, hey, I'll bless you and I'll help that. But listen, it's not about this morning, it's not just about the blessing, it's about the fact that God wants us to praise Him. And God wants us to glorify Him. And God wants us to exalt His name. Listen, and old King David, he said, come, let us exalt the Lord. Well, His son Solomon, he had the opportunity. Man, listen, all the kings of Arabia, they all sat at Solomon's feet. And if Solomon would have just pushed the thing a little further, but oh no, oh, you look over to Ecclesiastes chapter number 2, and he says, I got me men servants and women servants, and I got me water holes and irrigation ditches, and I got planted gardens and vineyards and all those things. And then he went on to say, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He says, what is it in life? He said, nothing that a man ought to fear God and keep His commandments. He said, listen, all the things, Solomon said, it's all empty. He said, I could have used my influence and the blessings of God to influence the entire world. But instead, I became enamored with the blessings. I got caught up with the blessings and failed to bless the blesser. I failed to give God the glory. Oh, listen, church, God has been good to us. He has blessed us. And in all the blessing, let's not get comfortable with the blessings. Let's be sure to praise the blesser continually. Praise Him in public. Praise Him in the privacy of your home or wherever, your automobile, wherever, praise Him. But not only we need to praise God and let people know that we belong to God. I'll tell you this story and be done. Y'all remember I told it maybe before, but there's a little lady that passed through the Depression here in America. The Depression began, she had nothing, it ended and she had nothing. So apart from her faith in God, she had a strong faith in God, and God was her provider. She loved God and prayed to God daily. Everything she had, God provided for her. And all through those hard years, she just prayed and learned to trust in God and lean on God. There was another fellow there that in that Depression era, and he owned a little store there. And he was a kind of a Sunday, once a week kind of type of a Christian that he went to church because he knew he was supposed to go, and people told him that it helped his family and community, so he went. And when the Depression era came and he lost his store, he blamed God for it. He got angry with God and turned away from God. And his little boy grew up here, and that how God had failed the family. And that little boy, as he got to be an older young man, he rejected God. He denied the faith. And he didn't want to have any part to do with Christianity. But all the providence of God saw fit one day that young boy would move in on a certain street where a little lady lived. Not only did he move in on the same street by that little lady who loved God and praised God and prayed, not only did he move in on her street, he moved in right beside of her. God providentially directed him to live beside that little lady. And listen, the boy, she would praise God, thank God, and pray. And he got so tired of hearing it that one day he decided, I'll fix that lady. And he said, he took the money that he had, what money, he gathered up a bunch of money, and he went down, he went to the market and loaded his vehicle to the hill. And he said, I'll load this up. He said, I'll take it, I'll put it on her stoop on her doorstep, and I'll leave it there, and I'll let her know when she comes out, and she'll give God the Lord. But I'll let her know that it wasn't God. There's not a God. It was me that provided for her. That little lady, she went about at her business and what she prayed, and she sought the Lord. She needed God to bless her. She needed food in a bad way. And he went, as his plan would have had him to go, and he went and purchased the food and the supplies and brought it, and he left them there. And he knocked on her door and he said, here. And he knocked on the door, and then he went around the corner just as if he had never been there. Went around and got out of the way. And lo and behold, she came in the door, she saw those things, and she began to praise God. Woo! Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah! And the tears began to roll down her eyes. Boy, she was so thrilled. And no sooner she really had gotten going. And he stopped and said, wait a minute. He said, I've got to tell you something. He said, I got to inform you of something. He said, I feel so sorry for you to believe in this stuff. He said, I got to let you know. He said, it wasn't God that brought this food to you. He said, it was me that brought it. He said, listen. He said, you can't keep believing this God stuff. He said, I'm the one that brought the food. And boy, he looked for the response, and all she did was she stepped out on the porch, and both hands went up in the air, and she said, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. She said, God, I knew you were good. She said, I knew, God, you've been providing for me. She said, I just never imagined you use that old atheist next door, that old God rejected. I never knew you'd use him, God. Hallelujah. Listen, church, God is a good God. God's been good to us. He has so abundantly blessed us. God has provided for me. He's provided for you. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. It's so easy for us to sit around our homes or sit in our vehicles. It's so easy for us to complain because we don't have enough. And what a shame. And then on the other hand, it's so easy for us to look around and see all that we do have and thank God for the things. Yet we fail to praise Him and tell others, oh, how good He's been to us. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so many of us have tasted. I believe America has tasted the goodness of God. And we have seen that God is good. Now we must let the world and others know. Those around us, friends and family, no Christian ought to ever be heard complaining or griping or fussing. Sure, things are rough in our country. Sure, there are things we don't agree with. Brother, listen, it's not our duty to complain and gripe and go on and about all those things. Listen, hey, folks are worried and they're nervous and they're trembling, but listen, we who are God's people, we ought to just like David said, we'll praise Him more and more. Listen, not because of the things. Hey, we'll praise Him and thank Him for the things, but listen, let's praise Him for who He is and what He's provided for us. Listen, He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He has provided for us a sacrifice, the sacrifice, the Lamb of God. He's provided salvation for us. And listen, thank God for the things, but thank Him most of all for Calvary and for the blood of Jesus Christ. And so let's let the world, let's let the people around us in our world, our realm of influence, let's let them hear us praise Him for His goodness so that they might know that He is the only true and living God. Let them know that He's given us the peace that passeth all understanding. Let them know that He has saved our souls from hell. Let them know who it is. Let them know who it is that gives us our joy, our peace, our happiness. Praise Him. Praise the God of heaven. Heavenly Father, we ask today, God, that Your hand be upon us. We ask, Lord, that You direct us. God, help us be mindful of Your blessings. Help us be mindful of Your goodness. We love You today, Lord. We thank You for loving us. Thank You for the folks gathered, Lord. Thank You for this, the ones throughout this nation in which we live in the world. You've been so good to us. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now, dear God, forgive us for our complaining, our griping, our bickering. And God, help us, Lord, to praise You more and more, to have more boldness to speak Your name. Help us never, never to fail to let others know about the goodness of our God. Thank You today. In Your name we pray. Amen. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's stand together.